So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 12th day of March 2024. And, we have tonight, our producer is Young Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And, of course, tonight we have with us, as usual, my co-host out there, the legendary Parson Joe Larson.
Yeah, from the middle of the woods, middle of nowhere, I'm here.
And I'm Pastor Sanders. I'm their hero. And it's not an easy thing to do. Would
definitely
I do it?
Not.
All right.
With you is definitely not easy to do. Oh, did I get that wrong? I always turn things around.
All righty, there you go. All right, now we got to get something done here. Oh, first thing, very important. We want to express our most sincere condolences to the family and friends of Aquila Single, who went home to be with the Lord yesterday. And Aquila is the mother of Mark, who is one of the men who is one of my deacons at Doers of the Word Baptist Church. And again, I would like to tell you that for the friends and family of the Single family, service will be held Saturday, March 16th, from 10 to 2 p.m. at the Stone Funeral Home at 13115 Lorraine Avenue in Cleveland, Ohio. So she made it home. She did, folks. Aquila made it home.
And graduated.
Yep.
She's gone up in the world. Yep.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, let's pick it up where we left off in our scripture. Do you remember the title of the message?
Yeah, it was a strange one. Who, what, why, when, and where.
Uh-huh. Okay, so why don't we pick it up? Let's read it verses 1 through 3, and we'll pick it up in verse 4 where we left off yesterday.
Okay, reread 1 through 3?
Yeah.
Now, while I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard, my well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, Judge, I pray you betwixt me and my vineyard.
Well, here now, the vineyard represents the nation of Israel, and the pleasant plant, that represents Judah. And here now, we're going to pick it up in verse 4. The Lord has just told the people, now judge you between me and my vineyard. In other words, here he goes to say in verse 4, what could have been done more to my vineyard than I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought forth wild grapes. Now, wild grapes represents what? What is it, Joe?
No, the unsaved.
Yeah, well, rebellion.
It represents rebellion. I always get that confused because the unsaved are usually the rebellious ones.
Yeah. And so here now, he's asking a question. Look, what is it that I have not provided for you? Have I not provided everything for you? Have I not been a fair and just judge? And have I not done everything right for you? And so now he's saying, so he's asking them, you tell me. And he says, even though I've done everything right for you, you are rebelling against me. And pick it up in verse 5.
And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it.
Okay, so here now. Here he's telling them in a way that they understand about vineyards what's going to happen to them. They're going to be devastated. They're going to go into captivity. He's giving them a warning here about what's coming with that 70-year captivity here. And so then he goes on to say, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, and behold, oppression, for righteousness, and behold, a cry. And so here, meaning, when he says for righteousness, he said he was looking for justice, Joe, justice. And what did he get? He got complaints, right?
Right.
And so now he starts to... Complaining
and complaints. It wasn't good enough, wasn't enough. I want more. Bigger, better, right? Like that.
They, you know, you think they're Democrats, don't you?
It sounds like it.
All right. So now we go into the six woes. There's six woes in verse 8 we see. And these are six woes here for the nation of Judah. But also some of that applies too to Israel. In fact, I got to tell you this. This passage of Scripture is such a very clear warning to both Israel and the United States. Israel and America today, they're going parallel down the very same path, Joe, the very same path. And here, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be impossible for us to escape God's judgment. And actually, the judgment is here. We're coming under his judgment daily. His arm is stretched out. But the vast majority of people are so biblically illiterate, they're clueless. They've got no idea what's happening today. And so, as we go through here, we'll take a look at these different woes that he puts on them. So, read verse 8.
Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth.
Okay, so now he's talking about the leaders, the wealthy, powerful of Israel and Judah. And here, this curse is on Judah, but it also includes Israel. And he's saying that these people they're wealthy and powerful, and they're buying up homes. They're buying up homes in the farmland, one after the other. And he says, woe unto them How do we see something very similar happening today in the United States?
Oh, we see different rich billionaires buying up a lot of the farmland and land. They're buying up huge mansions and on, you know, islands of Hawaii, all along the coast, on your rivers and lakes. They're buying up the prime property.
Today in America, who owns more farmland than anybody else? Who has been buying up the farmland? Bill Gates. Bill Gates is one. Now,
But all these other rich people, I mean, you go look in Wyoming, it's the most beautiful river country you're fishing. That land's being bought up by wealthy Hollywood people, business people. They're buying up some of the lakes, river excess. They're buying up some of the best land and sealing it off from any use.
Okay, so here, Bill Gates, the second largest purchaser of farmland, is Red China.
China.
Now, and behind that, the third is BlackRock. Okay, so they're buying. Now, why would it be very important to own the farmland in America?
That's where the food comes from. You control the food, you control the people. We've seen it all through history. Remember, Rome outsourced its food because they didn't want to farm and work. The wealthy wanted to play and party, so they outsourced their food, and their food source got cut off, and one of the big reasons Rome fell.
Okay, so that and sodomy, entire Roman Senate.
At this point, we were talking farms, and you control the food, and all of a sudden, boy, empires fall.
Well, yeah, like their Senate was sodomite like ours is today. But
today, that's another correlation.
So what happened now, we're seeing this, and God is telling them, you know, guess what? When you get a woe from God, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Pretty bad. I'd say it doesn't get a lot worse.
Okay. In mine ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without habitation. So he's telling them, and then he says this, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of a homer shall yield an ephah. So he's telling them that all of this farmland they're buying up, they're going to end up in famine. It's going to be famine. He's going to bring famine.
Yeah, it'll be barely, a teeny tiny crop, you know.
Yep. So now it's woe number two, verse 11. Go ahead and read verse 3.
Woe to them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them, drunkenness, revelry. They're going to turn into alcoholics and not be workers anymore.
Okay, so read verse 12.
And the harp and the viol and the tabret and the pipe and wine are there in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands.
Okay, so when men are intoxicated, and he's talking about them, they rise up early, and they're in Washington, D.C., they have 1,900 what they call cocktail parties every day. 1,900. Isn't that something?
Wine, women, and song, huh?
Like
the old, that's what it comes right from the Bible. Wine, women, and song, probably.
So let me ask you this. When you're getting dim-witted, down in the prison system, they refer to it as ignorant oil.
Right.
And when you're on ignorant oil, when you get full of booze, how is your relationship with God? How much time do you think you spend thinking about God?
I don't think you spend much time thinking about anything, let alone God. He's far, far away. They're thinking where the next drink, the next party, the next whatever is.
So does that alcohol sometimes become your God?
It becomes, Well, I heard once an old philosopher say, God is whatever you choose to be your master. Yeah. And you and I chose Jesus Christ to be our Master, our Lord and Savior, and the rest of the world does other sort of choices, right?
Absolutely. So we go to verse 13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge of their honorable men and are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Now, let me hear, okay. People don't really understand what is happening today in America. Little by little, they're trying to take away our freedoms. Big tech is trying to censor us. More and more taxes, higher taxes. In the state of Washington today, citizens in the state of Washington, there's legislation, Senate Bill 5427, and that bill is a bill that's designed to have people turn in their friends, turn in their family, turn in to strangers if they say anything against Joe Obama Biden's Antichrist policies.
Right.
And so
that's pure old, that's right out of Adolf Hitler, right out of Karl Marx. Hitler did that with the youth, right?
Yep.
Turn in your parents, turn in your brother, turn in any family member.
And the state of Washington is so communist that it'll pass, and the governor said he'll sign it. You got a communist country there, a communist state there. Mm. And so here he goes on to say, therefore hell hath enlarged herself, opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp. And he that rejoices shall descend into it. And the man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. Now, hell.
That first was mean man.
And so, here now, and the mean man shall be brought down. Right, okay. And here now, when we talk about this here, hell is a literal, but it's not a place. It's a state of being.
Right.
And it's a state of being in torment. And what is death? Death is what? Separation from God. And so here, when you're in death and hell, you're separated from God and you're in a state of torment. It's literal, but it's not physical.
Right, but they show it that way with the idea of opening the mouth to swallow up more and more souls, more and more people. And like there's an old saying, hey, somebody's speeding down the highway. One person says, hey, hell ain't half full yet. You know, there's always room for one more, right?
Well, yeah, they use analogies. They show you that something you can...
hell will keep enlarging no matter how many people go there.
Right.
That's the kind of the idea they're trying to say.
Well, it's what you, yeah. I mean, but they're using this to you can associate. For example, it says, hell hath enlarged herself. It's not saying that hell is a woman or hell is a female gender.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we just have a tendency to name things, after females, for example, back during the war, even when we were in, everybody they named their helicopters, they named their tanks, and that after their girlfriends or their wives.
Airplanes in the war, they had the
And
ships were named after for a long time after women.
Yeah,
storms. It was kind of a thing all across the world.
And so have we seen today, do we see today hell enlarging herself, enlarging her mouth? Do we see that today in a large way?
More than ever.
And so, boy, do we. I mean, we really do. All right, we go on to see.
More people believing there's a heaven that believes they're a god, I'm pretty sure hell's growing.
And the mighty men should be humbled. Well, they're not going to humble themselves. God's going to humble them, isn't he?
Yes. And he does very easily. The mighty get slain very quickly.
Now, when this happens, When God takes judgment upon the wicked, remember the Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. And when God does that, what does he receive for doing that, for taking judgment upon the wicked?
What the next, does he receive?
The next verse will tell you.
Oh, shall be exalted in judgment. He will be exalted. I was thinking, what was he gain out of it? He exalted in his judgment, yeah.
And so here...
And God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness.
And then, so what do we see there? We see, then shall the lambs feed after their own manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. So now, he's talking about, see, we start out, and earlier there what he was talking about was if contemporary times, now he's telling you here about a time that's going to take place, but this time is really going to be during the millennial kingdom, isn't it? And here, when the lamb shall feed after their own manner, and the waste places of the fat shall strangers eat, it's in their pasture. But of course, that could have an application, a modern day application. But as the Bible's not in chronological order. For fact,
no.
If we jump ahead, for example, let's say. To read, just jump ahead for a minute and read verse 26.
And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from afar, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly.
That's during the tribulation period. So he's jumped way ahead here.
Right.
But with that, we're coming up to a break. And you know what? Are you standing by? This we played yesterday, but I think it really bears playing it again.
Because I agree.
It's got to do with everything we're going to be talking about tonight. So, Style, go ahead and bring it on.
I was the deep state, and I wanted to destroy America. I would rig the election with a puppet candidate, one that was so compromised that they would never say a word about it. I would create a false flag that allows for mail-in ballots. I would be in charge of the ballot counting machines. I would create a false flag to blame all who question the results of the election. If I was the deep state, I would prosecute anyone that went against me. I would sue and prosecute anyone that spoke up about the fraudulent election. I would use my powers to shut down all your internet businesses and bankrupt you. If I was the deep state, I would make everyone an example why you should never question a Democrat ever winning an election. I would imprison my foes. I would use my corrupt DAs and blackmailed judges to destroy you. I would make sure all crimes I ever committed never happened. I would prosecute my biggest competition. I would make sure they could never run for office ever again. If I was the deep state, I would convince everyone that Ukraine Nazis were good and women are men. If I was the deep state, I would own every politician that mattered. If I was the deep state, I would push my pedophilia ambitions on you. If I was the deep state, you'd question your sexual identity but not the medical establishment. If I was the deep state, you would fear to ever resist me. If I was the deep state, you would wish I was really the devil. If I was the deep state, I would say mission accomplished.
Well, we are dealing with the deep state today, and you know, and we understand this, and probably the vast majority of the folks that's listening to us understand this, but we have a society out there that is clueless, really clueless, and I mean, and a lot of these mega churches and these prosperity churches, the pews are filled with people that don't have a clue what's happening, and things are happening very quickly.
They are. I'd like to also ask people, that was a what you call a spinoff, the legendary Paul Harvey, back in August 16th, 1999, put out an article called If I Were the Devil, and it just starts, I would gain control of the most powerful nation in the world. So what we just played was a Trump spinoff on Paul Harvey's If I Were the Devil. And for some of you young folks who have never heard that, you can look it up online. If I Were the Devil, Paul Harvey, I would look it up and read it, because everything that he said has already happened.
Absolutely. Well, you know, in West Virginia, Secretary of State Mack Warner, he cleaned up the state election, and he said that the 2020 election was stolen, which we know, we all know that here, by the CIA. And now you have ex-CIA chief Michael Morales stated under oath that Antony Blinken reached out to him and set in motion 51 ex-intelligence agents to lie, to absolutely lie about the laptop being a Russian thing, conspiracy, and or being part of Trump's trying to overturn the election, disinformation, a total. And these 51 intelligence agencies had no problem lying, had no problem at all. I'll bet 51 of them were Democrats. What do you think?
I wouldn't bet against that at all.
And so
I'm pretty sure they had to be, because no self-respecting Republican could lie that foul, I don't think.
Well, Chris Wray is saying now that all of these terrorists, he didn't say the terrorists that Joe Biden's bringing in, but he's saying the terrorists that's coming into the country. Now, who's flying terrorists into the country daily to 43 different airports?
Biden.
Joe Biden. Now, who had the ability actually to stop this? Chris Wray, he has the ability to stop this. But Chris Wray refuses to do that. He just, instead of, now, Chris Wray is pretending to be very, very concerned about this. He's saying, look, we're under a tremendous threat. Our country is a very, very serious threat. But Chris Wray was a major part of this himself, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's right now kind of just doing a CYA. It's gotten so bad that he's almost positive something bad's going to happen, so he had to come out and give a warning just to cover himself.
Right. Well, he's a part of the whole orchestration, isn't he?
Right. He's a part of it. Or if he wasn't, he's been covering up for it. Either way, he's guilty.
So all of these people that, you heard these hearings, and we'll get into these hearings today, the Biden hearing, but all of these people there, sitting in that Congress, and when they question Ray, it's like, gee, Chris, we thanks for the warning. Stupid is as stupid does, isn't it?
Well, the trouble is, most intelligent people knew 2.5 years ago what Chris Wray was trying to warn us about. We saw coming across the border all these people, the gotaways, people, the ones who just wanted asylum would just come running up and give themselves up. When you have all these gotaways, you know they're coming in to not be found, not be seen, not be known, and it had to be, terrorists, gang members, traffickers, none of it could be good people, wouldn't come in that way. And we knew way back, 2.5 years ago, there were going to be repercussions. There'd be something bad happen. Everybody that had any intelligence knew it. And basically, Chris Wray just came out and stated what everybody in the Border Patrol and local sheriffs and everybody else knows.
Okay, but Chris Wray, he had the ability as the head of the FBI to say, all right, this is a national security. We've got to close the border.
Right.
He had the authority.
Loud. They had to do something, right?
He had the authority to do it. Did he have the responsibility, the duty to do that?
Yes. He had the duty to warn the country. He may not have had the authority to say, I want the borders closed, but he could say, that's what we need to do to protect America. That was
right.
His job.
But he failed. His now, Joe Biden is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Communist Party, which is a big part of the deep state. The Communist Party owned not only Joe, but a number of senators, others, too, all taking money from the Communist Party, Chinese Communist Party. Now, Joe Biden has committed high treason. Joe Biden has committed high treason against America. Even today, even as he's out there with, and he's got all of the fake news media, they are quick and willing to betray the American people, you know, the ultimate betrayal. They have kept quiet when they know what is happening here. And so, and yet, these people don't understand. Those people at NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, they don't understand that when this evasion that is taking place, when the country catches on fire, they're going to be here too.
Yeah. And, well, let's back it up, though. One of the most insidious things you can do is steal an election, because stealing an election is taking away one of the most sacred rights of a free people, and that is the right to vote. When you steal elections, you're taking away that right to vote from a free people. You are committing, that is insurrection to the 10th power, because it's a sneaky, under-the-table insurrection, but it's an insurrection. It's turning over a government. And so starting right off there, we had all of our, these intelligence agencies, the federal government. We had the federal government committing a coup on the American people, taking away the constitutional republic and replacing it with itself, the deep state, which is nothing other than a communist entity. So you really have, we have this revolution that's taking place in front of our very eyes, and I don't hear people getting on the news or on the TV at night saying, we're in the middle of a communist revolution, but that's
right.
What's happening.
Yeah, absolutely, and we know that again, Biden is bringing in terrorists by the plane load every day. And he's not bringing them in here because of the goodness of his heart. He's under his orders. He's betraying the American people. He's committed high treason. And those people sitting there in Congress, every one of those Democrats sitting there with him, are committing high treason, too. And again,
just think about it. The National Security Agency, the FBI, the CIA, all these agencies are charged with what? They were set up to protect the American people. From criminals, from crime, from, drug dealers, from traffickers, from cartels, from mobs, And what are they? They have turned, and they are worse than any of the people they're supposed to be protecting us from, because they're actually doing to us what they're supposed to be protecting these outsiders from doing.
Absolutely. Now, this impeachment hearing today, and I got to give... Jim Jordan, I got to give him a heads up.
Her's testimony or the other one?
Yeah.
Or a couple
now,
things going on today.
Her's testimony. We're going to go over to her's testimony now. So now, Jim Jordan and Matt Gaetz and the other fellow, the one, Connor.
Comer.
I think Comer, yeah. What's his first name, John Comer?
I was just going to say it.
Yeah.
Good grief.
Well, anyhow, I got to give them credit.
They did
an excellent job today. But anyhow,
extremely good questions. Extremely, and the wonderful thing was they actually had a witness who was willing to answer a question, tell the truth, didn't say I don't remember, I don't know, didn't weasel around, play with words. He answered directly and honestly, which is something we have not seen in a long, long time.
So you're talking about her?
Her, himself, yeah.
Yeah, but
answered questions.
Yeah, he did that. But her, you can see, was not He was not on Trump's side, and I know.
No, of course not. I mean, there were things he didn't want to go into, but when he was asked directly, "Did this happen?" Yes, you know. So at least we had a witness that answered most of the questions real open and honestly, which helped gave us, you know. Well, one thing that came up, did you see in there when they were asking him questions, Biden turned around and gave secret confidential information to his ghostwriter?
No, he did not. He sold it to him. He got $8 million. He got $8 million.
Yeah, they got $8 million. But anyway,
not only that, some of that secret confidential information went in the book.
Yeah, went in the book. So this is a violation of the Espionage Act. He took secret confidential information through the ghostwriter, put it into a book that went out and made $8 million. In other words, publicly gave out confidential information, and he made money off it. That is the very definition of violating the Espionage Act. And then for proof of that, when they appointed her the special counsel, the ghostwriter went immediately and erased the files that Biden had given him to write the book with.
Absolutely.
So, see, they knew it was wrong because otherwise they hadn't erased the files until her was appointed special prosecutor, and they went, oh, this could come out. Then they hid the evidence.
Okay, if I was there and I could ask her a question, I would ask him this. If Joe Biden was to take a gun and shoot somebody live there at a press conference and kill him, would you prosecute Joe? Would you prosecute him? Now, the reason I would ask that is because what he's virtually saying when he says, well, I didn't think we could get a conviction, but here's what he didn't say. He said, he didn't say because it's in Washington, D.C., and what he didn't say, because no matter what you do, you're not going to get a conviction because Washington, D.C. is one of the most corrupt places in the entire earth, okay?
Right.
And so this is what he's saying. Now, had it been this, if Donald Trump would have made a mean face or even sneezed, would you get a conviction on Donald Trump in Washington, D.C. for spreading germs? And
exactly. But here's the big thing that so many people overlooked. Most of that information, or a great deal of that information, Biden acquired while he was a senator. Now, a senator is not allowed to have any of that kind of information. They have to go to that special, whatever it's called, kiosk or whatever. You have to go in, and it's all security. You can take nothing in with you. You can listen and hear things, and you come out, you cannot take notes, can't bring anything with you. So here, when he was a senator and wanted to get a hold of this secret information, he had to go through this system. Somehow he really had to cheat because he had hundreds and hundreds of documents from the time he was a senator, which means he had to commit very many, many, many violations. And then as vice president, of course, he had access to certain things, but as vice president, he was not allowed to keep them, take them home. Only that priority goes to the president because the president alone can declassify information. So he never mentioned all this stuff was done back when Biden was young, before he was old, before he was senile. He was crooked. He took national security information over and over and over again when he was a senator, multiple violations. There is no reason that he should not have been charged. He could say, okay, we charge him. We believe he committed these crimes, but we're not going to take him to court. But he would have said he is guilty of violating, you know, these different laws. That's what her was guilty of not doing, was saying, look, he did this, was totally illegal, and maybe too late to charge him or something, but he should have said those charges were against him.
Well, one thing he did do was that when that And every single one of those Democrats were lying. Every one of them. I could tell you, listen, I was writing down all of the things that they were, what they tried to do is they tried to turn this hearing, impeachment hearing, on Biden into one against Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kept saying Trump was charged with this, Trump was found guilty, Trump, and no. And then you had that one woman, the Muslim woman, I'm trying to remember her name, but she said that, and so here now, and Joe Biden, the long and short was Joe Biden was found innocent.
Mm-hmm.
He was, and said no.
Say no, he wasn't found innocent. He wasn't charged.
Right. And so
there's a big difference between found innocent and not charged.
Right. And so here, and all of those people, remember this, here, her had worked with Chris Ray, her had worked with Rod Rosenstein and Merrick Garland. Well, you know, Chris Ray, Rod Rosenstein, and Merrick Garland were no friends of Trump at all, are they?
No, never.
And so, here, this is why he could have done. See, he could have at least he should have. His job was to charge him. Okay, and I know he could have said, "Well, look, in my opinion, in Washington D.C., no matter what a Democrat does, they're not going to get convicted, no matter what, because it is so corrupt. Washington D.C. is completely corrupt. It's completely corrupt." And so here. You see what has taken place now. Do you know which presidents had kept some classified documents?
Oh, yeah, but I can't think of which one it is right now.
Well, here you go. It was Biden. Obama had some. Daddy Obama. Bush had some. Bill Clinton had some. And Ronald Reagan had some. So... No,
didn't
but
clear back though to like Woodrow Wilson or something took a lot.
Probably, yeah.
One
no.
of them way back. That's what I was trying to remember. Anyway, but, two things on this. Biden just flat out lied. He said, "I did not share classified information. Guarantee you I did not." Well, we know he gave all this information, classified material, to the ghostwriter, that Mark Zonitzer. You know, the ghostwriter. And then what was interesting is even her said, "We identified evidence that the president willfully retained classified materials at the end of his vice presidency when he was a private citizen." So he took things when he was a senator, as a government official, and then after his vice presidency, he had all this when he was but a private citizen. So, I mean, you know, Biden did so many things that if he were a Republican, he'd have 20, 30 charges against him right now.
That Congresswoman Spartz, she's testified that she had grown up under communism. I think she was from Czechoslovakia or someplace, but she had grown up under communism, and she said, "And what I'm seeing here now in the communist looks very, very similar." And so here, every one of these, Ted Lieu, communist congressman, he made a litany of false claims against the legitimate President Donald Trump. Here, the Democrats were all trying to try Trump. But this was a hearing on Biden. But they turned it all on Trump. Again, and here's what Hur said. He said that in his opinion, Biden is unlikely to reoffend, commit the same crimes in the future. By the way,
yeah, he's so old and senile, he couldn't remember what the documents were, what they were if they showed them to him.
Absolutely. Okay, the I wanted to. There was a couple things. I took some notes as I was listening to all of this here, and the communists accused Trump of everything that Obama did, everything that Joe Obama has, all of the crimes that Joe Obama has committed, they accused Trump of. Again, remember, this was supposed to be a hearing about an impeachment hearing on Biden. When they impeached Trump, you didn't hear, hear the Republicans bring in a Biden, right?
Right.
And so here, the communists kept trying to turn the impeachment hearing around against Trump. Hearst said that he didn't think, again, he didn't think that he could get that convention because, now that's what he didn't say, because it was held in D.C., but you could tell that that was, by looking at his face, okay, that that's what he was thinking. So, now every single Democrat that were in that hearing, I listened to him today. I wrote down Jerry Nadler. Everything he said was a lie. James Raskin. By the way, Raskin.
Oh, Raskin is as bad as Shifty Shift. I've never heard anybody such a blatant liar. I think he is outdoes Shift sometimes.
Yeah, he is. He's trying to take a Shift's elite role as far as being the best liar. But here, Raskin is one of those behind that legislation they want to pass, outlawing a militia, outlawing anything that people have, any meanings to protect the constitutional rights. They're trying to make it a crime. Raskin is a part of that. He is a hardcore communist to the bone.
Well, he probably has figured out what's going on with, you know what, the civics, right?
Yep. Yeah, with the tactical civics.
Tactical civics. He's probably aware somebody has told him what's going on, and they have their eyes and they have their people, and they're going, oops, wait a minute, these crazy people out there are actually trying to do something to stop us, so ergo the bill in Congress, right?
Right, and here's the thing of it is people are saying, well, you don't really think that bill has a chance because basically what it says is we can't have four militias, we can't even go in and have training, and in other words, going to the shooting range.
That bill sure could pass because people think, oh, militias, they don't understand what a militia is, what it's supposed to be. And it could be easily spun as a bunch of crazy right-wing fanatics with guns wanting to commit insurrection. That could easily get passed.
You don't suppose NBC, ABC, CBS would have that flat-out propaganda as their narrative, do you?
Oh, it would be daily. It would be pump morning, noon, and night.
Okay, do you know how many felonies that Biden has actually, they know, And he knows this, that how many felonies that, and Robert Hur knows this, that Biden actually, and the Biden crime family have committed over 350 felonies.
Okay, so, I would think it was some of those documents, it might even be more, but yeah, I believe that easily, if not more.
And that Congresswoman, Pramila, Jayapal.
Jayapal, yeah.
Yeah, she.
I didn't know her first name, but Jayapal, yeah.
She came out and she says, and then here now, Joe Biden was exonerated, and that's when Hearst said he was not. So he tried to say, no, he was not exonerated. He was guilty. He committed the crimes. He kept trying to say that, but she just shouted, and she said, this is my time, and she's yelling over him and trying to keep him. From actually
well,
saying
you
that.
Ever notice when you don't have the truth, when you don't have logic, when you don't have reason, what do? Yell and scream, make a whole bunch of noise, make a scene. That is what the left has always done when they don't have the truth or common sense or knowledge.
Right. So, anyhow.
Well, it's like one of the examples they keep pushing right now. The inflation went up a little bit. Oh, no, inflation's going down. It's going down. What they mean, and again, this is how they play with words, you know, the words are the weapon of warfare for them. The rate of inflation is going down, but prices are still going up because when, you know, it hit 18-19%, the prices went up because of inflation. The prices have never come down. They keep going up.
Right now prices it's between 20 and...
But the rate of inflation is gradually going down. I was just looking right now, since Biden took over, food is over 22% higher. Energy 35 to 36% higher. Well, some places, depending where you live, 40. Gasoline is 39 to 45% higher. Electricity 28 to 35% higher. Rent, depending on where you live, anywhere from 20 to 40% higher. Those are all things that Americans can't do without. Can't do without food, energy, you know, for gasoline, electricity, and they have to pay rent or make a house payment, which, because of the higher rate, is more expensive, and the taxes are higher.
Absolutely. Well, here, I want to go over to what we were talking about earlier there in the state of Washington, when citizens are to turn in their friends and family, strangers. Let me just read. While the First Amendment protecting Americans' free speech has in itself been changed, its application certainly has. And with Biden regime colluding with tech corporations to censor the American, we can hear say, can hear and what Americans can hear and say. And the movement has reached a new peak with a plan in the state of Washington for a plan to set up governments to be on a watchdog basis for bias. American citizens in the Northwest state will soon be able to turn their friends in, their neighbors in, their family members in, even strangers, for not only physical hate crimes, but also expressions of bias, explains Liberty Nation. The report said that the governor is expected to sign what is designated as Substitute Senate Bill 5427, which was promoted as supporting people who have been targeted or affected by hate crimes and biases. You know, listen, hate is, you know, the truth is hate to those that hate the truth.
Amen to that.
It details and includes a report hotline, a reporting hotline to track incidents that will be run by the state's law enforcement. The report explained bluntly, to be clear, this isn't merely about going after people who have allegedly committed physical hate crimes. It also targets people, instances of a person's expression of animus toward another person relating to the other person's actual or perceived characteristics. In other words, if I was to say, gee, I'm really angry with Joe, he's uglier than me. Well, then that would be, I would have a hate crime. What do you think? That's what it says here.
The way they're going, remember the youth movement, Nazi Germany, turn in your parents, turn in your brother, your sister, turn anybody in that doesn't go with the state. The state is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-right, and everybody else is wrong. Turn them in. And that was the collapse of the family, the collapse of society in Germany. And that's why, through that kind of system, they took the girls and took them, put them in special camps to have babies for the Third Reich.
Okay.
They took over.
Joe, I got to break in because we have a hard break coming up. So we will be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now Channel 525.